You ought to. He's got quite a pipeline and just like that.
Praise the Lord. Let's stand for our final hymn this morning before the message, beloved. Let's open up to 126, my favorite. I'm so glad.
126.
William Cowper wrote the words of this great hymn of the faith, and I know that you're glad too that there is a fountain filled with blood. Glory to God. The world needs to know. And we're going to sing the first, second, and fourth. Praise the Lord.
There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains.
Thank you, Lord.
Lose all their guilty stains. Lose all their guilty stains. And sinners plunge that fountain in his name. And there may I go far as he washed all my sins away.
Praise the Lord for that. Please be seated. Glory to God. Great singing this morning. Making a joyful noise. That's what it's all about. Let's grab our Bibles at this time and open up to John's Gospel. John chapter 17 this morning, folks. And I'm sure glad we're taping this morning, because I may get a little excited. John chapter 17 is one of the most glorious chapters of Scripture in the Bible. My goodness. And of course, this is the Lord's Prayer. Our Father is the disciples' prayer. This is the Lord's Prayer. Amen. And in John chapter 17, Jesus is just a few hours from the cross. Good morning, sister. Praise the Lord. I didn't see you. And
I'm getting smaller.
That's not a bad thing. Just a few hours before his betrayal, mock trial, and crucifixion, as you know. It's Gethsemane time. He knows what is awaiting him in the morning, folks, but he's not thinking of himself. He's praying for his disciples and you and me. I want to show you that this morning. Look with me in John chapter 17. And let's stand for the reading of God's holy word. We're going to begin reading in verse 20. John 17 and verse number 20. Words in red. Amen? I love those words in red because it means Jesus was speaking on earth. Glory. Verse 20 we read, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovedst me before the foundation of the world." Beloved, I want to call your attention to verse 22, using that for my text this morning. And I want to speak to you on true glory. True glory. Father in heaven, how we thank you this morning for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're so grateful, Lord, that some way, somehow in our lives, you revealed your glory to us. And we've never been the same. Lord, I am so glad today that I can go to any soul, anywhere, anytime, and tell them of the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord, and that they too can receive His glory. It's true glory. Something the world is searching for, though they don't know it. Lord, we just pray that you would help us with this treasure in earthen vessels to spread it, to shout it from the rooftops that Jesus saves. Lord, let us share that glory, the love of that glory, with the lost and dying world before it's too late. Because we know, Lord, that trumpet's going to blow. We're going to be called up yonder. The tribulation period will begin. The Antichrist will come. All of the prophecies will be fulfilled. But, oh God, our hearts are burdened this morning. Because all around us is spiritual death and destruction. Lord, the devil's having a field day. And we want to make an impact. We want to make a difference. And we thank you that through Jesus Christ we can. And Lord, we pray your Holy Spirit would enlighten the eyes of our understanding as we look into this text this morning. We'll thank you ahead of time for it in Jesus Christ's name. And the people said, amen. Amen. Please be seated, folks. Glory to God. Beloved, we're entering holy ground here this morning. Our subject matter is dealing with what I consider to be the most glorious truth of Christianity of all. That is that every true believer in Jesus Christ has already received the divine glory of God's Son. Amen? That glory is in you. It's in you, the Spirit of Christ. Glory to God. Indeed, this was the intent of God the Father in sending His Son into the world, that all people might come to know Him and receive of His eternal glory. Aren't you glad that Jesus isn't prejudiced? Aren't you glad this morning He wants them all to receive of His glory? It doesn't matter where you're from. It doesn't matter the color of your skin. It doesn't matter your financial background. He wants to impart His glory to you. Beloved, you have something that the majority of this world does not understand. It's the glory of God within. They look at Brother Kyle driving that bus for the school kids, and they just see an old guy there, you know. But he's got the glory of God in him. Praise the Lord. Now, I want to preach this morning on the true glory. True glory. In doing so, I'll give you four things. First, let's notice what this glory is. What is it? What is this true glory? Look at me in verse 22 again. Verse 22, Jesus says, "And the glory which thou gavest me." Notice what this glory is. The glory is none else but the very glory of the eternal God, creator of all. His glory is his natural essence of character. It's who he is. The Greek word doxa, it means dignity, honor. It means praise, worship. And it means glory, very apparent. That's God. That's doxa glory. And Jesus says, this is the glory that the Father gave me to give to you. Isn't that great? It's free. I love it. Because every human being has access to this glory if they'll only receive it by faith. Now, this form of the Greek, doxa, is only applied to God himself. So when he's saying, it's not like, you know, the glory of Michael Jordan, you know, great basketball player, and it's not like earthly glory. This is a divine, heavenly glory that Jesus Christ offers to all the world. Now, three ways I see what this glory is. First, it is his everlasting possession. Look at verse number one. This glory, first, is his everlasting possession. He's always been glorious. Amen? These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal. You want to know what eternal life is? Look at it. That they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Jesus says, eternal life is knowing me. Wow. Glory to God, amen? He told the truth. Jesus says, if you want eternal life, you've got to get to know me. Look what it says. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me, doxa me, with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. What is this glory? Notice in verse 5, Jesus said, I had this glory before we created anything. It's his everlasting possession. It's always been his glory, and it always will be. And yet, he stoops to offer it to sinful man. This is amazing to me, that God would offer his own glory to rebellious creatures like us. What a blessing. It is his everlasting possession. Romans 11:36 says, for of him, and through him, and to him, be glory forever and ever. Amen? Be glory. Why? Because he's glorious. He's always been glorious. He always will. Secondly, what is this glory? Secondly, it is a joint glory. Look at me in verse 24. It's a joint glory. Jesus says in verse 24, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Now, notice here that this glory is equally shared between the Father and the Son. Amen? There's another person that shares it. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Hold your place. We're coming back to John. But go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 3. Because there's another person that shares this glory equally with the Father and the Son, and that, of course, is the Holy Spirit. Look at this. In 2 Corinthians 3, verse 17, Paul writes, now the Lord is that Spirit. See the capital S? The Holy Spirit is the Lord. Glory to God. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Now, verse 18, but we all with open face, Christian, beholding as in a glass, that's a mirror, the glory of the Lord, the doxa, same Greek word used, are changed into the same image from glory, that's the glory of the Lord, to glory. That's his glory in you. See it? Even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So here we see that the Holy Spirit has the dokes of glory to give to you and I. It's a joint glory. It's a three-way joint glory. I'm so glad. And Isaiah 42 verse 8, don't turn there. The prophet wrote in God speaking through his pen, I am the Lord. That is my name. And my glory will I not give to another. God said, I alone am eternally glorious. There's no other God that has my glory. Amen? So Jesus says here that I have the glory of God. So Jesus is God. Amen? Thirdly, what is this glory? It's a totally unique glory. God's glory cannot be duplicated. It cannot be fabricated or imitated. God's glory is his natural essence. It's what he is. Amen? Isaiah 46, 5, he says, to whom will ye liken me and make me equal and compare me that we may be alike? God says, you cannot find another being in all the universe to compare to me. Amen? Because of his glory. It's what he is. He's glorious. Astronomers tell us that the North Star never sets. For thousands of years, it has been the brightest and most reliable guide for travelers, especially for sailors at sea. It's called the Polaris, or the Pole Star. It's located directly above the North Pole. It doesn't move. Everything moves around it. It's by that one bright star that early sea travelers would make sure of their location and direction. Beloved, that's how God's glory is. It's always shining brightly. It never changes its position, and it's always visible to those who seek it. Amen? It's what he is. He's altogether glorious. I love that. But something else this morning. Not only what this glory is, but secondly, notice the recipients of this glory. I love this. Look at me again in verse 22. Notice its recipients. Verse 22. Jesus says, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. What? Did you hear that? Jesus says, the glory of God, the dokes of glory, the divine glory that he has given to some people. Oh, this is so good. Because if you're born again this morning, you receive the Holy Spirit, you have received this glory, according to Jesus' words in verse 22. Now let's identify the them of verse 22, who have become recipients of this glory. Amen? I see seven ways you can identify those who've received it. First, they are all those who've received his word. Look at verse number 6. Verse 6, Jesus says, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. I'm so glad we're not of the world anymore. Amen? Verse 6, thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy what? Word. Notice it. Verse 7, now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. 8, for I have given unto them thy what?
Words.
Words. Here it is. Jesus' words are right here. They're available to all people if they will receive them. Verse 8. I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me. And they have what?
Received.
They didn't put up a stop sign and say, no thank you. They didn't say, shut up, I don't want to hear what that Bible says. They have received his words. I love that. Because you and I have received his words, we've received his glory. Only those who accept the words of Jesus Christ as God's words can receive this glory. You can't have God's glory if you reject this book. Secondly, who are the recipients of this glory? They are all those who have believed on Jesus Christ. Look at verse 8. Verse 8. And they have received them, and they have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. Look at, drop down to verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall, what?
Believe
on me through their word. Now, Jesus is not preaching Joel Osteen's easy believism here. He is preaching about being born again, regenerated by the Spirit of God. That includes repentance of sin, that includes receiving the Holy Spirit, that includes being saved, being born again. Amen? That's what he's saying in verse 20, because look what he says. But for them also which shall believe on me. When you believe on somebody, you're trusting in them. Amen? I love that. I'm so glad that you and I have believed on him for our eternal salvation. Thirdly, who are they that receive this glory? They are all those who are kept by the power of God. Look at verse 11. They are those who are kept by his power. And verse 11, and now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. Look at that. Notice the word keep in verse 11. Verse 12. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Now, beloved, this is what I term preserving grace. Preserving grace is where Jesus Christ keeps you from falling. Amen? By his Holy Spirit, he strengthens you for victory in your daily life, practical obedience, sanctification of the Spirit, keeping your nose buried in that book, keeping your knees nice and calloused up by prayer, and that is keeping power. Jesus says, I've kept them. And look at verse 11. He says, Holy Father, keep them through thine own name. I love that. I'm so glad that Jesus keeps me from the devil. He keeps me from the world. He keeps me from falling. Amen? Because he's able. I am so thankful that I've received his glory and he's keeping me by his grace. Fourthly, who are those that are recipients of this grace? They are all those who retain the joy of the Lord. Look at verse 13. Verse 13, and now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my what? Joy fulfilled in themselves. Folks, I am so glad this morning that I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. You got it! If you know Jesus Christ, you've got joy. Amen? Something the world does not have. The world this morning is down in the dumps. They're depressed. They're committing suicide. They have no light of life to live for. And they need the joy of the Lord. Nehemiah said, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Amen? Sometimes I wonder, the Christians just down in the dumps and, oh, woe is me, I got this problem. Yeah, we all got problems. But you're to retain the joy that Jesus gives through those trials and difficulties. This is a key of a mark of a Christian, the joy of the Lord. Do you have joy? Let me ask you, are you walking in that joy? Can others see that joy in you? Fifthly, who are they that receive his glory? They are those who are sanctified. Look at verse 14. Jesus says, I have given them thy word. And by the way, I am so glad that my sanctification doesn't rest in Bob Oliver. I can't do anything. Sanctification lies in that book right there. Amen? You know it's true. Because when you get done reading that book, you get up and you just feel, oh, I want to charge hell with a squirt gun. You know, you just feel clean. That's the sanctification of the Spirit. Look what he says, verse 14. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them. What? You're hated because you believe the Bible? Yep. Verse 14. And because they are not... Now, let me go one step further. Because you believe the Bible. King James Bible is not a version. It's the Bible. All those other perverted, those are versions of the Bible. Amen. And so, a lot of Christians will, you know, well, what do you mean I need a King James Bible? You know, they don't understand. This is the Bible. Verse 14. Because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, Father, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Aren't you glad he's able to do that? Yes. 16. They are not of the world. Oh, I'm so glad we're not anymore. Even as I am not of the world. What's the next word? Sanctify them. How? Through thy truth. Thy word is truth. I am so glad that you and I have means whereby we can be daily sanctified. Now, folks, I'm talking about practical sanctification. Your positional sanctification is forever perfected. You are perfectly sanctified positionally in Christ. But our practical sanctification, we've got a Christian life to live, right? And we want to live it pleasing to the Lord. So we need to be sanctified practically. They're not spelt the same, as Doc would say. Fifthly, sixthly, who are they that receive His glory? They are all those who are sent ones. Look at verse 18. They are sent ones. Jesus says, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. Beloved, listen to me this morning. You, if you're saved this morning, you are a sent one. Say, I don't feel like it. Never mind about your feelings. Worry about what God says. You are a sent one. That means you have a sphere of influence that I don't have. You can reach people that I can't reach. Amen? And God wants to use you to reveal His glory to those people in your life. You're sent. Just Jesus says, look at that in verse 18. As thou, Father, had sent me into the world, even so have I sent them. Wait a minute. Wasn't Jesus on a mission to seek and save that which was lost? Oh yeah, He was. That means you are on a mission. It doesn't mean you have to go to, Africa as a missionary. It means you're sent. Wherever you work, wherever you, go to supermarket, wherever, you are a sent one. And you are sent. Look at it, verse 18. Look who sends you. As thou sent me, Father, into the world, even so have I sent them. You have a commission. You have a mandate from Jesus Christ. Amen? I am so glad that the one who sent me has the authority to send me. You can't shut me up. Put me in prison. I'll preach to the. I'll get the frogs saved and baptized. You can't. When you're sent, you can't shut up because Jesus Christ has to come through you by His Spirit. Sixthly, seventhly, who are they that receive His glory? They are all those who've received the Spirit of truth. Glory to God. Look at verse 23. Jesus says, "I where." Ooh, I like this. He's in you. And because He's in you, you have something the world does not have. You have something so precious that Paul called it a treasure in an earthen vessel. Oh, knowing that He's in me gives me such joy. Knowing that when I go to work tonight, I work at GE overnight, and I prepare some of my best sermons at work because I'm in the God Shack all night with my Bible. But as I go to work, I'm so glad that He's in me. He goes with me. Amen? And those guys, they know. Oh, here comes the bishop again. He's got that Bible, carrying that Bible. What's he going to preach to us tonight? That's because He's in me. And He's in you. I love that. They are all those who've received the Spirit of truth. A Christian man told me recently an interesting story. He said, one summer, I spent some time at Mount Robson, British Columbia, where I camped and lived with fellow mountaineers of the Alpine Club of Canada. On a rainy day, a group of us were drinking tea in a tent when a discussion arose about religion. A young scientist turned to me and asked, "You don't really believe, do you, that Jesus is the Son of God? How do you know that's true?" It was then that I looked him straight in the eye and said, "How do I know that Jesus is the Son of God? I know it because I know Him personally." For at least 30 seconds, our eyes locked. Then he turned away. He knew he was telling the truth, man. He knew that fella had Jesus Christ in him. See, all recipients of His glory know that His glory is in you. You can't be saved and not know it. You can't have God's glory and not know it. I could say, "Pastor, I'm not sure if I'm saved." I said, "You're saved." If you're having doubts, you're saved. That's the enemy trying to make you doubt. But thirdly this morning, quickly, notice the effect of this glory back in our text. What is the effect of it? Look at verse 22. "And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be" what?
One.
Wow. "One, even as we are one." 23. "I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one." Wow! Beloved, listen. listen carefully. Wherever this glory of Jesus Christ makes itself to appear in the hearts and souls of men and women, you will find the truest evidence of Christianity. That is the unity, love, and fellowship of all those who possess it. Amen? You can get on a plane this morning and go to Australia and get off that plane, and you come in contact with another Christian, a true believer, and you just like, wow, praise the Lord, brother, you know, high-fiving. Why? Because you both have that glory. Amen? It makes you one. You know what we have in the world today? We have a bunch of division. I mean, oh man, even in Christianity, quote unquote, the umbrella of. I mean, you know, this faction is fighting against them and they're not happy with that crowd there and you can't fellowship with so-and-so. Listen, folks, if you have Jesus Christ in you, you are one with all members of the true body of Christ. You're one because you have the same Holy Spirit. I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. Oh, glory, I love it. Beloved, this glory creates a unity that the world cannot understand. Notice how this effect of unity occurs. First, it's by Jesus Christ indwelling us. Verse 23, I in them. Whew. We camp right there for a while, amen? That's all you need to know. If Jesus is in you, that's all that matters. You know, my first pastor in 1986, I got saved, and my first pastor used to say all the time, if you're saved, you're on your way to heaven, your greatest problem in life is already solved. Everything else is a piece of cake. Yeah. Amen? Why? Because look at it. Verse 23, I in them. Jesus says, I am in you. I am in you, and that is all you need for life and eternity. If you've got Jesus Christ, you've got everything you need. I'm so glad these gals are in church this morning. They're out there chasing guys in the bars. They're in worshiping the Lord. Amen? And this generation is scary, folks. But they understand that Jesus Christ is in them. They're chosen vessels. This indwelling is literal and continual and irrevocable. In other words, once he comes in you, he can't get out. So, as this fellow said to me, he says, yeah, you know, you guys, you believe in eternal security of the believer? I said, amen. He said, yeah, but you can take yourself out of his hand. I said, oh, then you're stronger than God. No, you're not. No man, that includes you, can take them out of my Father's hand. I am so glad of that this morning. Colossians 1:27, don't turn there. This mystery is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's what it is. This is the effect of this glory, is that it indwells us by Jesus Christ. Secondly, how? How is this effect of unity occurring? Secondly, it's by the Father indwelling the Son. Back to verse 23. I in them, and thou in me. Now, folks, listen to me. If Jesus Christ is in you, and Jesus Christ, look at it, thou in me, Father. Jesus Christ is in you, right? Where's the Father? Right. So he's in you. Remember when in John chapter 15, where Jesus said the Comforter will come, and he said, I will not leave you comfortless. He said, we will, speaking of the Father and himself, he said, we will come unto you and make our abode with you. I'm so glad God lives with me. Amen. I love my dear wife of 27 years. I love her to death. But she loves the fact that Jesus lives the center of our marriage. Amen. Jesus lives with us, and that's all we need. You know? Because why? Look, he says, the Father indwells me and I indwell you. Look at 21. And that they all may be one. How? How? As thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. It's getting better. Now we're in them. We're in them both. Why are we in them? That the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Jesus says, the reason why I'm in you and you're in me is because I want the world to know that I'm real. Amen? That I've got something to give them better than what the world offers. Thirdly, how is this unity affected? First, it's by Jesus Christ indwelling us. Secondly, by the Father indwelling the Son. Thirdly, it's by realizing that we already are one body. Look at verse 22. We must realize that we already are one. Not when we get to heaven, right now. 22. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may, what's the next word?
Be.
Present possessive tense. Be one, even as we are one. Jesus says your unity with each other is the same as the unity I have with the Father. Wow! This is powerful stuff. It's already a done deal. Amen? We must realize that we already are one in Him. This is His intended effect for His people. We sing, blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. The fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above. We share our mutual woes, our mutual burdens bear, and often for each other flows the sympathizing tear. When we asunder part, it gives us inward pain. But we shall still be joined in heart and hope to meet again. Why? It's because of the effect of this glory coming into you. We're made one. Okay, we've seen what this glory is. It's the glory of Christ in you. We've seen who the recipients are, those who receive His word. We've seen what the effect of this glory is. We're made one. But finally, observe the ultimate purpose of this glory. What is the ultimate goal of us receiving His glory? Look with me in verse 23. John 17, verse 23. Jesus says, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me as and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. What did Jesus just say? He said, boys, I want to give you the reason why you've received my glory. So that the world will know. So that the world will know something. Folks, listen to me. The only way that wicked world out there is going to know that He is real and that He loves them and died for them. Look at it. Verse 23. That the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them. How many of you knows this morning that Jesus Christ loves, God so loved the Calvinists? Wrong. God, you ever noticed the Calvinists? I've never yet met a Calvinist that's not one of the elect. It's amazing, amazing. They're always part of the elect. You know, don't witness to this one and that one, because if they're not part of the elect, they can't get saved. Blasphemy. They teach a limited atonement. My Bible says He died for the sins of the whole world. Amen. My Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But look at this in verse 23. That the world may know that thou hast sent me, and something else they need to know. And that thou hast loved them. Thou hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Could you imagine giving up your firstborn to die for the punk terrorists over there in Syria? ISIS? Beheading people? He died for all of them. Now, they won't receive it. We know that. But He died for them. He wants them to be saved. This is boggles my mind. That God could love me as much as He loves His Son. Yeah. How can these things be? The Bible says it's true. And this is what God wants the world to know, beloved. The ultimate purpose of this glory is that the world may know that Jesus Christ loves them and was sent by the Father to save them. Not to condemn them, to save them from their sin and give them eternal life. Dearly beloved, don't miss my final point. We got to stand back for a moment and get a glimpse of the big picture here. This great God of infinite glory is trying to reach an entire world full of lost and hurting and dying people through His dear Son. And He wants to use you and me to be a part of this grand work. And when they see men and women who are no longer selfish, hard, ungenerous, men who are no longer governed by their passions and lusts, men and women who desire that which is holy and just and good, men who live their lives for God's glory, sacrificially, in perfect unity and harmony, then shall they know. Then shall they know that there's something about these people They are different, man. I mean, it's uncanny. They see you and they can't figure you out. You're not going to for liquid lunch with the boys, Oliver. You're not going down to see the girls take off their clothes. No. No, I've got something better. Amen. I've got Jesus Christ. Glory to God. Listen carefully. Somebody wrote what we have in Christ. Author unknown. What we have in Christ. A love that can never be fathomed. A life that can never die. A righteousness that can never be tarnished. A peace that can never be understood. A rest that can never be disturbed. A joy that can never be diminished. A hope that can never be disappointed. A glory that can never be clouded. A light that can never be darkened. A happiness that can never be interrupted. A strength that can never be enfeebled. A purity that can never be defiled. A beauty that can never be marred. A wisdom that can never be baffled. Resources that can never be exhausted, and heaven that can never be ended. Whew. Why? Listen carefully. Why do we have all this? It's because of His eternal glory. True glory. True glory. What this world thinks is glory is disgusting and filthy. But God's glory. God's glory. Folks, listen to me. There's something worth living for. And it's the glory of Christ that is in you. Father in heaven, how we thank you this morning. For the eternal glory of the Son of God that has made us one, but more importantly, Lord, that glory has transformed our lives. That glory can be seen in its effects upon us. Yes, indeed, Paul said, if any man love God, the same is known of him. It's obvious. It can't be hid. And we thank you this morning, Lord. Because our prayer is that your glory would shine through us in these last days as never before. That we would pull out all the stops, surrender all to thee, and let your glory shine before a dark and dying world. Lord, that they might come to know this joyful sound. That they might come to have the light of life in Jesus Christ and receive the true glory. The true glory of God. In the face of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for it this morning, and Lord, that's why we're here, because of His glory. We thank you so much for allowing us, the likes of us, to be recipients of that eternal glory. Lord, I scratch my head in wonder, in awe of your glory, and wonder why, oh why, would you allow me to have it? Thank you, Father. Thank you so much for these precious souls of King James Bible Baptist Church. Thank you, Lord, that they love your glory. They're not here for me. They're here for Jesus Christ and His glory. And Lord, we pray you'd fill this place up to standing room only. We pray, Lord, for your glory, that you send us more hungry souls for the Word of God. Hungry souls for the worship of the King. Hungry souls to serve the true and living God till He comes. Lord, one last thing. I'm so thankful that you sent us. You sent us. Sometimes we don't feel like we're sent, but we're sent because your word says we are. And Lord, I thank you for the privilege of bearing your name before the Gentiles, before the lost of this world. Thank you, Lord. I count it an honor to suffer shame for the name of Christ. And Lord, help us to be bold as a lion in these last days, Lord. Help us, Lord, to by your Holy Spirit, to walk in the power of your love, in the strength of the sanctification he giveth, O God, and boldly proclaim to this world that Jesus saves. Jesus saves. And Lord, I know one thing that will attract them. We can preach hellfire and brimstone to them, and that'll work too. But more so, your love. We tell them how much you love them and what you all the glory you have for them if they only will believe and receive. Lord, we thank you for it this morning, and we ask you to use us this week as your sent ones, that we might win somebody to the Lord, that we might be soul winners, ambassadors for Christ, and Lord, that we our ministries may have an effect, an impact upon planet Earth. We'll thank you for it ahead of time, and we thank you most of all for your eternal glory, the true glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, folks. Let's grab our hymnals and stand this morning for a closing hymn of invitation. Oh, praise the Lord. And grab your hymnals. Open up to 161 this morning. Don't you just love to tell the old story of the cross? 161. You can't help but tell it when you've got it. And we're going to sing the first, the third, and the fourth. Praise the Lord. Yes, indeed.
I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and His glory. Oh, Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story because I know 'tis true. It satisfies my longing.
Amen.
As nothing else can do. I love to tell
Amen. Praise the Lord. Before we sing again, every head bowed and every eye closed. Father, thank you. Thank you for the old story. The old gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that still saves from the guttermost to the uttermost. And Lord, with every head bowed and every eye closed, nobody looking around, I'd ask a question. Do you have somebody the Lord's laid on your heart this morning by an uplifted hand? You say, Pastor, pray for me. I know who I... Yes, I see that hand. I see that hand and I see that hand. I know who I have to talk to about you. I know who I have to share the old story with. I see that hand. Put him down. Thank you, Lord, for your people, uplifted hands. And Father, I pray you give them a boldness by your Holy Spirit this week, that they would go to that person without delay, before it's too late, and tell them of the Savior's love, that they might be saved. And Lord, I pray that you would lay somebody on every one of our hearts. My hand is up. And Lord, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, that that is your Holy Spirit laying that person's face in our mind's eye, that we might go to them, pray for them, and witness to them. Give them a gospel tract. Tell them about Jesus' love. And we thank you ahead of time for those who will receive. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. On the third, beloved, on the third.
Tell the story, 'tis pleasant to repeat. What seems each time I tell it more wonderfully sweet. And love to tell the story, for some have never
about it.
I sing the new song. Twill be the old story that I have loved so long. I love to tell the story. Here'll be the theme in glory to tell the old story of Jesus and his love. To tell the old story of Jesus.
Praise the Lord, beloved. What a blessing to be in His house this morning with you all, as they say down south. We're going to have Brother Carl dismiss us in prayer. And don't forget, tonight at 6 o'clock, we'll be back in the tribulation period. And part 9 tonight, glory to God, at 6. What a blessing that'll be. So thankful for Laura and Catherine, the twins. Praise the Lord. Hope we didn't scare them off yet. And what a blessing. The Lord, you know, little by little, the Lord sends us people. So we've seen a little increase lately. And tonight we should have double the crowd. Praise the Lord.
It's a far cry from being in somebody's apartment.
Yes, indeed. Praise the Lord. Brother Carl, dismiss us in prayer.
Thank you, Lord, that we've had this opportunity.
Yes, Father.
Receive your word, Lord, and to understand it, and to know, Lord, that your glory is in us and that you've given it to us so that we may share that glory with everyone we meet, Lord, and pass it around. We know, Lord,
yes,
that it's your intent that all will be saved and come to salvation, Lord. And just thank you that we have a small part in spreading that salvation, the word of salvation, Lord, and getting it out to the others in the world.
Mm-hmm.
We ask, Lord, that you'd be with us, you'd guide us, you'd keep us safe, and you'd bring us back this evening. And we ask it in Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 Praise the Lord, people.